Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Hope you guys are listening tonight. I have a really, really good show and something really important on my mind that I want to talk about. This is all about knowing your self-worth. I think it's something that not everybody is always in touch with. And I see it across all the generations. Everyone is struggling with knowing their self-worth. So I think it's important that we look at it from our point of view, and then we look at it from others' point of views. You know, we have so much focus today on social media and what people perceive as successful. And I hear it from the younger generation all the time, how they don't feel like they measure up. They don't feel like they're going to be successful. They feel already behind the eight ball, and they're young. They have their whole world ahead of them. So I think it's really important to find out where that's coming from and how we might be able to help change it. So tonight we are talking about your worth and your perception of it. Are you in debt or are you deserving? Sometimes it's difficult to focus on yourself when your efforts have always been centered around someone else. Your spouse, your kids, family, friends, even your coworkers. That's okay. It's typical, really. That's why we're going to take some time and delve in and get a sense of what we're feeling and how we can sort things out. And if not, get on the side of deserving, right? So worth, the value equivalent to that of someone or something under consideration, the level at which someone or something deserves to be valued or rated. That's what worth means. That's the definition of worth. I guess it depends on what it is and the perceived value in the eye of the beholder. But if that's true, why would you buy into a set value decided by someone else? We believe things like you either have it or you don't. It's valuable or worthless. We get into this line of thinking, and then worse, we believe it. And even worse, we defend it. Absorption of ideas happens often and early in life, and in many cases, subliminal. It would be incredibly helpful if all those ideas were positive and made us feel better about ourselves and more empowered, stronger. The problem is, they aren't. Negative self-talk is a common problem that continues to plague generation after generation. Here's an example. Your mother was hypercritical about herself with an unhealthy body image. She modeled this type of behavior from her mother, who in turn modeled it from her mother. Little comments like, I'm fat, I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not smart enough, floated around their house about as easy as they talk about the weather. Some got comfortable with joking about it, but the seeds were planted and the hurt cut deep. Comments like, I need to lose weight, or I hate my hair, or I need to do XYZ before I can be happy, means you aren't good enough now. Things will get better, and you will finally love yourself when you're better. Now, we've all said it, and truthfully, we've probably felt it, really. But I guarantee we didn't know how harmful it could be. If somebody would have told you that mentioning the fact that you're unhappy with your body over and over and over could give your child the same complex, would you still have said it? My middle daughter is tall, always has been. At age 2, she was 40 pounds and 40 inches. Now, I remember this because that is the exact requirements for getting out of a car seat. Now, of course, I didn't do that. I mean, she was only 2. But I'm pretty sure she was still in pull-ups at that time. But my point is, she was always off the charts. Always. Everyone always commented on it. She's so tall. She's so big. She's huge. One day in elementary, she told me that she needed to go on a diet. And I was shocked because she's never really had an issue with weight at all. And I said something to her and she said, "Mom, I'm big. I'm huge." Oh no. What were they doing to her and what was I doing to her? Because I use those words too. Words are so strong. And just like they have the power to lift you up and encourage you, they have the power to tear you down and negatively influence you. Children are like little sponges. And you might think you're just talking to yourself, right? You're just being critical to yourself. But where did you get that from? Did you absorb it from your parents? It's learned behavior. If your little one, now you may not have a little one, so I'm saying past or present, was following you around today, what would they be learning? If they were playing a game of copycat, what would they look like? Are you cringing? I know I am a little bit. I mean, it was Monday. Did you start your day enthusiastic, ready for a glorious work week? Or did you kick and scream with a sour attitude all the way through breakfast to the bus? Now, you can apply that and evaluate your entire day. What would the lessons have been? Now, I'm not meaning to put you on the hot seat. I just want to point out we were those sponges at one point. So what did we absorb? Think about it. The beauty is you have a chance to change the pattern moving forward. Self-worth starts early in life with self-esteem. Building self-esteem, confidence in one's own worth or abilities and self-respect is strengthening their core. It is vital. When their core is weak, they're more susceptible to criticism and believing harsh judgment without challenging those beliefs. Absorption is high when you're weak. Building self-esteem can give them a protective layer, kind of like a shield, to withstand some of life's cruelty. To thrive, kids need to trust in their own capabilities. At the same time, knowing they can handle it if they aren't successful at something. It's by experiencing mastery and rebounding from failure. That's so important, rebounding from failure, that they develop a healthy self-confidence. I mean, everyone's going to fail. I found 12 tips on ways to help kids feel more confident. This was by Child's Mind Institute. And whether you are still in a position to directly influence children or not, that doesn't matter. These are great tips. You can even take it for your own self-confidence. But number one, model confidence yourself. Even if you're not quite feeling it, seeing you tackle new tasks with optimism and lots of preparation sets a good example for kids. That doesn't mean you have to pretend to be perfect. Do acknowledge your anxiety, but don't focus on it. Focus on the positive things you're doing. Number two, don't get upset about mistakes. Help kids see everyone makes mistakes. And the important thing is to learn from them, not dwell on them. Confident people don't let fear or failure get in their way. Three, encourage them to try new things. Instead of focusing all their energy on what they already excel at, it's good for kids to have diversity. Attaining new skills makes kids feel capable and confident, and they can tackle whatever comes their way. Remember how we've always talked about the mini celebrations? You know, setting a goal, which is actually in this list, love that, but setting a goal and then reaching the goal allows you to have a mini celebration, which is so, so healthy. But also allow kids to fail. It's natural to want to protect your children from failure, but trial and error is how kids learn, and falling short on a goal helps kids find ways not to fail. That is so important. If you always jump in and fix it, how are they ever going to learn? How are they going to learn problem solving? It can also spur kids to greater effort, which will serve them as adults, right? You can see that moving forward. Number 5, praise perseverance. Learning not to give up at the first frustration or bail after one setback is an important life skill. Confidence and self-esteem are not about succeeding at everything all the time. They're about being resilient enough to keep trying and not being distressed if you're not the best. That is huge. Praise perseverance. That is so true. And I know for those of you that have already raised your children, like I have, you're going over this list with me thinking, oh man, I should have done that. But knowing this and adopting this behavior, moving forward with anybody that you come to influence is definitely growth. Very, very important. Number 6, help kids find their passion. Exploring their own interests can help kids develop a sense of identity, which is essential to building confidence. Of course, seeing their talents grow will also give a huge boost to their self-esteem. Their passions may not be your passions, so giving them room to explore and really find something that they want to go for. I see that in today's generation. They're kind of milky about everything, and they don't really dig into one thing. And so encouraging them to try multiple things, add diversity, and then find something is so, so important. And I encourage you to do that as well, even as adults. Number 7, set goals. Articulating goals, large and small, and achieving them makes kids feel strong. Help your child turn desires and dreams into actionable goals by encouraging them to make a list of things they'd like to accomplish. Then practice breaking down longer-term goals into realistic benchmarks, just like adults do. You'll be validating their interest and helping them learn the skills they need to attain their goals throughout life. I can't emphasize enough how important that is. You cannot set those goals, those life goals, so much later in life. You just don't understand really the A to Z kind of breakdown. So teaching children that at a young age is so, so important. Set goals. Number 8, celebrate effort. Praising kids for their accomplishments is great, but it's also important to let them know you're proud of their effort regardless of the outcome. It takes hard work to develop new skills, and results aren't always immediate. Let kids know how you value the work. That is so important. We do a lot of good job, and we've already established, or at least research has, that that can be pretty detrimental talking about good job, because it's you forcing your opinion or your judgment on the work that they're doing. But celebrating and encouraging the effort, I think, is so, so important, really to help them with good work ethic as well. Number 9, expect them to pitch in. They might complain, and we know they will, but kids feel more connected and valued when they're counted on to do age-appropriate jobs, from picking up toys to doing dishes, picking up after a younger sibling or a play date, homework after school. It's very important for them to feel needed. And so even though they might complain, it is important to expect them, not just ask them, but expect them. Number 10, embrace imperfection. As grown-ups, we know perfection is unrealistic, and it's important for kids to get that message as early as possible. Help kids see that whether it's on TV, in a magazine, or on a friend's social media feed, the idea that others are always happy, successful, and perfectly dressed is a fantasy and a destructive one. Instead, remind them that being less than perfect is human and totally okay. I recently presented at Girls World Expo, and I read some alarming statistics, and these were girls ages 11 to 18, and I had some young ones in there, and I was reading some statistics in my PowerPoint about body image and an unhealthy body image of teenagers, and 98% of teenagers are unhappy with the way they look. 98%. So I read all of these different statistics, and then I flipped the PowerPoint, and I had all of these selfies with girls making cute little faces, and they were all pretty, and some of them had the filters on and what have you. And I said, do you think this is the 2%? And they all were really confused because the statistics were high, yet those girls on Facebook looked like they had it all together. So we were able to have that communication about what you see is not necessarily what's actually happening. Number 11, set them up for success. Challenges are good for kids, but they should also have opportunities where they can be sure to find success. Help your child get involved with activities that make him feel comfortable and confident enough to take a bigger challenge. And, you know, not everybody can be good at sports. And even though you want your child to be great at sports, it's not going to help them build their self-worth if they're always failing, right? Number 12, show your love. Let your child know you love them no matter what. Win or lose the big game, good grades or bad, even when you're mad at them, making sure your child knows that you think they're great and not just when they do great things will bolster their self-worth, even when they're not feeling good about themselves. So what do you attach value to? Think about it. What's important to you? What do you perceive as valuable in your life? What is worth the most to you? Is it family? Friendships? Your faith? Maybe it's something you've worked really hard for, like an accomplishment or a new house, a boat, a car. What measures do you take to honor, support, or protect this treasure? As we've already established, it's very important to you, in fact, valuable. So what do you do to protect it? Do you recognize your role in obtaining it? Why is it so easy to discount our part in success or happiness? I think the word luck is so overused and favored. I'm so lucky. It was the luck of the draw, my lucky day. Like these wonderful things just landed in your lap. Lucky you. I do believe you can be blessed with good fortune or a special gift. But in every case, you have to activate it. Interestingly, though, when bad things happen or we face challenges, we either take all the blame or we're the victim of everything bad that's happened to us. I found this intimate account about stopping the learned behavior from a blogger named Emma Jean. When I was growing up, I was taught to believe the world was a scary place. Chances were to be doubted and questioned in favor of the safe option, and people weren't to be trusted. I felt without opinion, and I had to do what was expected of me. When I did good, it was hardly noticed. But I felt that the slightest step out of line was to be feared for the punishment that was to follow. I didn't feel I had choices, only expectations. I know my parents believed that they were doing their best, but it taught me so much about how not to be a parent. When I had my own children, I could have followed similar patterns. I struggled massively with the expectations of others and what I felt others believed I should be doing with my babies. Deep down, I knew that how I wanted to parent was right. I wanted calm parenting. I picked my babies up. I let them nurse probably longer than they should have. I didn't push them to clear their plates or go to bed but tried to let them lead the way when they were ready. This didn't go well with others, and at times I felt I was fighting what felt like the whole world to do what was right for my babies. I know that every day my choices were questioned, and I was made to feel like everything I was doing was wrong. I had, however, a stronger desire in me, and that was to give my children a good foundation for the future. I knew that I had issues with self-esteem, confidence, and self-worth. I knew that choices I made in life had been based on other people's views and expectations. I knew that I felt many of my choices had been taken from me, and I doubted myself and my abilities, and I didn't want that for my children. I wanted them to grow up confident and happy, able to reach the best they could be. I wanted them to believe in themselves and others, and more importantly, be who they wanted to be, whether that was a doctor, a scientist, or a homemaker. I didn't want the world to be a scary place, but a place full of opportunity and wonder. I didn't want them to settle, but reach out for their dreams. I wanted the choices they make to be theirs, mistakes and all. I didn't want them to feel that the bad stuff was easier to believe. It hasn't been easy, but I have times I fought battles with my own demons and stood alone against everyone to do this for my children. But I believe that's the greatest gift apart from my love that I could give them. Pretty amazing. She was able to stop the pattern because she wanted more, and she was able to challenge those limiting beliefs and know that she could do better. Most people will never have a shortage of weaknesses they can draw from, you know, but they will struggle to list their strengths. Just like you build a resume to demonstrate your worth to a potential employer, you should also list your accomplishments to demonstrate your own self-worth. Sometimes you just need to see it there in black and white. Remember when Julia Roberts said, "The bad stuff is easier to believe" in Pretty Woman? Maybe you haven't heard enough of the good stuff. If you're in debt, you need to make a daily deposit of gratitude. The benefits of practicing gratitude are nearly endless. People who regularly practice gratitude by taking time to notice and reflect on things that they're thankful for, they can experience more positive emotions, obviously feel more alive, sleep better, express more compassion and kindness, and even have a stronger immune system. I know I talk about that all the time. We're going to get rid of these allergies with positivity for sure. If you're rolling your eyes right now and thinking, yeah, I'll start that practice when I actually have something to be grateful for. Is that you? Is that what you're saying? Think again. Start with the fact that your eyes opened today. There's one. That you have another chance to make a difference in the world. Two. That you're able to think, plan, and execute any idea you come up with. Three. How about for the steaming cup of coffee that you're about to enjoy every morning? Four. Okay, so I just gave you four. So that should help your practice. You know, it's easy to find all that's wrong with the world. I mean, you can't turn on the TV or open up Facebook without seeing it everywhere. You can also find all the things you left undone and all the things you have yet to accomplish. But when you start rolling that negative ball down the hill, it will snowball to an unmanageable proportion. Don't you see that happening in your own day-to-day? You get around negative people, and before you even know it, you can't stop yourself. You walk away from that circle just feeling yucky and depleted. You have a chance to make an impact on those around you and beyond by sending out positive energy in all directions. So I want you to imagine pulling it all close as you reflect on all the good things and all the possibilities, everything that you have. Are you gathering it? You're gathering up all of your positive energy. You're holding it tight. And then you force it out in the direction of everyone you meet. Your positive energy hits them and just maybe impacts their day in a positive way. And then they turn and they send out their positive energy, influenced by yours, to everyone they meet. And so on and so on and so on. That's a positive ripple. The cool thing to visualize is all the ways your positive energy might alter someone else's day, helping them to do the same to another person. Think about it. Just visualize that energy as a color. And that color just washes all over someone. As they absorb it, it might mix with their color, and then it's forced back out. If everyone adopted this idea, imagine the reach it could have. Have you ever felt the energy of a positive person? I mean, really felt it. It hits you and it lifts you up and it's long lasting. Do you think that person started their day with all that is wrong with the world? And then they saw you and they just flipped a switch on? No. They embody what's going right and then they build on that, right? One positive thing after the other. That snowball can go another way. A friend once told me to think of gratitude like a bouquet. You start your day with picking up one flower at a time. Each time you notice something you're thankful for, you add another flower to your bunch. And at the end of the day, you might just have a whole bouquet. Sometimes using a visual like this will help you be more intentional in your practice of finding gratitude. So let's keep building on your value proposition. We're going to sell you on you. Okay? What do we need to highlight? Any good resume showcases your strengths and then it downplays your weaknesses, right? So make your columns. You've got pros and cons, strengths and weaknesses. Now, remember, weaknesses can actually be viewed as strengths. I'm not good at confrontation, or rather, I'm very good at avoiding confrontation. See how I just turned that around? Very good at avoiding confrontation. This has sometimes been a strength, but other times it's caused unnecessary trouble. Too many times I've let a bad situation last way too long because of my reluctance to have an unpleasant encounter. I'm not proud of this, but admitting it to myself is helpful. It means I can take this tendency into account when making decisions about what to do. I know this about myself. I also find that confrontation can relapse or be renamed, repurposed with being assertive. I can be assertive. If I think of it as being assertive instead of confrontational, then it makes more sense for me. It helps me be assertive when I need to be direct, right? Like in business. Getting to know you, your strong points, your weak points, will help you love and accept yourself. You will always be in debt and not deserving until you come up to a place of acceptance. Self-worth is knowing and loving yourself, and through acceptance, you can build your self-esteem. Now, I realize it's a journey, and getting to this place does not happen overnight. So, here are a list of reminders to help you find gratitude and build self-acceptance. Okay? Might want to grab a pen and paper and write some of these down. Know that you are beautiful. Know that your body was made that way in order to help you fulfill your purpose. All the strength you need to lead your life in the direction that feels good is within. You don't need to acquire or learn anything. It's all inside of you. You are amazing. purposeful, you deserve to have all the happiness in the world. There is nothing you can't achieve when you put your mind to it. Get out of your own way and start taking action in the direction that feels good. Love yourself enough to say no to things and others that no longer serve you. You do not owe an explanation. Your truthful no is enough. Life is always going to ebb and flow. Some days you win and some days you lose. It's all part of the game. Forgive yourself. Don't beat yourself up. You're simply doing the best you can with what you know today. So is everyone else around you. You are unbelievably worthy of a beautiful, abundant, and courageous life. You just need to find the things from within first. Focus on what is beautiful, not on your flaws. Focus on what is working in your life, not on what is not working. You are unbelievably powerful. If you could catch a glimpse of your own power, you would never settle for anything less than your worth. You are worth whatever you believe you are worth. You teach others how to treat you by what you tolerate and what you don't say. You can only be a doormat for others if you lie down. No one can take away your power. This is an illusion, a false barrier you have built. You can claim your power the minute you realize that you have it. You are not defined by what other people think of you. You are defined by how you think of yourself. How can you expect others to accept you if you've not accepted yourself first? Self-approval does not rest in achievements, accomplishments, money, or a fancy car, or success. Your self-approval is within. Anything else is just a distraction. When you love yourself and know that you're worthy, the universe responds in a kind way and delivers back to you more of the same. Self-worth is about saying yes when you want to say no. Essentially, self-worth is about living from a place of authenticity. Your self-worth has nothing to do with what you see in the mirror or what is in your bank account. It has everything to do with how you feel about yourself and your life as you're falling asleep at night. Life is always mirroring back what you're feeling. The more self-worth you have, the more worth you're going to find in the experiences that life brings you. No one is thinking about you as much as you think they are. People are not staring at you or laughing at you or turning their nose up at you. Most people are only thinking about themselves. Your self-worth can be measured in how much you truly love yourself. When you love yourself, you automatically become worthy. Some days you may feel worthy and other days you may not, and that's okay as long as you keep remembering to love yourself. You are worthy of a job, a relationship, a life that brings you happiness and joy and fulfillment. Find it in your heart to forgive. You need not carry around any pains from the past or burdens on your shoulders. You are worthy of this. You did not come to this earth to doubt yourself. You may not have everything or be good at everything, but you do have a gift. That gift is your purpose and calling, and your job is to find it. When you take a step in the direction of self-worth, the entire universe rushes to support you. Just take the step and you'll see how much you're supported. You are worthy of abundance. You are worthy of happiness, and you are worthy of a fantastic life. The only person you need to convince this is you. You are a walking miracle. Repeat this to yourself daily. I'm a miracle. It doesn't matter what others think of me or how the world thinks of me. The universe is on my side, and I know that I'm meant to be here. I am a miracle. Whoa, that was a nice long list of ways that you can tell yourself you are worthy. And sometimes we just need to hear it. Maybe we don't have people in our lives that can tell us that. So you are your own best friend, and you really need to dig deep and give yourself some praise. I gave you four different ways you could find gratitude in the morning. And if your morning looks anything like that, just opening your eyes can be a start. So, you know, we went all the way back to the top of the show and we talked about what we felt was worthy. And now, you know, going through this little exercise, we might see different things are really worth more. You know, you might have put value on certain things in your life and discounted other things. And maybe I've given you a different perspective where you can tip those scales the other way. So it's a good idea to make a list. What's valuable to you? You know, another reason to make that list would be, are you giving that which you think is so worthy enough attention? You know, you might say my family is the most important thing to me, but then you find that, you know, on your list of where you spend the most time, I know I'm guilty of that. I do a lot of work and not as much family investment. And so I need to tip those scales. You know, we also looked at absorbing negative self-talk at an early age. Boy, what an eye-opener. And I hope that was for you today. I hope you were able to maybe see some absorption issues you might have had as a child and maybe some that you could have passed on and how you can stop that cycle. You know, words are very, very powerful. You know, you find your children mimicking some of the things that you would say and you didn't even know they were listening. You know, they might have a similar point of view, whether it's politics or religion or just what's on TV. And you think, huh, did they come up with that? Or were they listening to me? And they are. They're listening to you. That's who they want to be. So think about that as, you know, being more intentional with what you're saying. How can you interrupt that pattern? Modeling confidence. That's a big eye-opener. You know, you can set your day on any path you want to set it. You know, you can wake up and decide, it's going to be a bad day. I can feel it already. It's a Monday. Of course, we got through Monday, thank goodness, if you're listening to me today. But, you know, you could say that and you could start your day that way. And then you're pushing out negative energy to everybody you meet. Think about what that looks like. If we talked about positive energy having a color, maybe a bright color like a yellow or a pink or a bright blue, and think of a negative energy as having brown or gray, you know, the smoky colors. Think about that landing on everybody you meet. They might be having a fabulous day. They started their morning with a gratitude exercise. You know, they were ready to go, and then, bam, they get hit with your negative energy. What is that going to do to them? You know, we also talked about ways to build self-esteem. We're always building self-esteem. You know, whether you're giving that to a child or you're actually building on your own, it is important to recognize your role in your accomplishments. That is one way to definitely build self-esteem. You know, take credit where credit is due. It's so difficult for us to do that. You know, we want to be critical. We want to talk about all the things we've messed up and all the failures we've had. And we just completely gloss over any accomplishments. Take a moment and celebrate those. It is so, so valuable for your self-esteem. You know, the bad stuff, we already talked about that. How that's so easy. You know, I've talked about it before. You can be having a fabulous day. Everything's going great. And you run into one thing and it trumps your entire day. And then it's nothing but negative. Your feedback or the way that you index that day is chalk it up to a bad day. Just my luck. Remember what I said about luck? You know, self-acceptance is one of the best gifts that you can give yourself. Imagine waking up, not looking in the mirror, having 10 negative things to say about yourself, but instead saying, hey, you and I are going to have a great day today. This is going to be awesome. We're going to find awesome things to do. We're going to impact those around us in a positive way. We are going to get somewhere and do something meaningful today. Imagine starting it that way. Pick up those bouquets. Pick up those flowers. Tell yourself those daily reminders. You have one life on earth. This is your challenge. You have one life on earth to live. And before you accept fear and failure and self-defeat, challenge those thoughts with gratitude. For one thing that you can celebrate, start building that bouquet. Accept the weaknesses. You can re-engineer those into strengths. And self-love is possible. You're worth it. And I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you.